الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل لا يستوي الخبيث والطيب ولو أعجبك كثرة الخبيث، فاتقوا الله يا أولي الألباب لعلكم تفلحون. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. Hope we all are reading our Durood Sharif 100 times every day. How many of us are reading? So very, very few. 2 minutes to read Durood Sharif. And the rewards are so tremendous and so great. How can we not do our own good? How can we harm ourselves so greatly? And also to read Surah Kahf, the first 10 ayats every morning, every evening. Who is doing that? Very, very few. And we are in the fire, and we don't want to come out of the fire. We are in the fitness. We don't want to save ourselves. And 1 minute in the morning, 1 minute at night. And like that, we show ourselves we are very worried, tired of fitna. We can lose our iman. But to save ourselves, we don't want to do it. We say, I'm very, very hungry. And food is there, halal and tayyibah. And we're not eating. We say, I'm dying. I'm hungry. And the food is also there, and nobody's stopping us also. Everyone encouraging us to eat, and still we're not eating. Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. The main thing is amal. It's not to talk, not to hear, not to know. It is the amal that is the main thing. And that is on what even decisions of this world are made. We are asking, what is the condition of the Muslims? Why so bad? Perceive ourselves, what our condition is. These very basic things we're not doing, then what can we expect? If we come on amal, things will come right. Allah give us tawfiq of reading 100 times Subhanallahi al-Azimi wa bihamdihi after namaz also. After Jummah namaz, the person who reads it, 100,000 of his sins are forgiven. We are committing sins left, right and center. And we don't do anything to redeem, to free ourselves from those sins. And 24,000 sins of our parents are forgiven. And even while they are living. And if they have passed away, the more we should be reading for them. So Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. The ayat al-kareemah that I have recited, Allah tabaruk wa ta'ala says, O Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, announce and say to the people, La yastawi al-khabithu wa tayyib. That the khabith, evil, bad, vicious, harmful things is not equal to the virtuous things. Things which are good, which are right. And that every person knows. And what Allah has declared, that is the actual criteria, what is right, what is wrong. And people generally also, there are many people unfortunately who take the wrong as right, the right as wrong. And in many things we are also involved. But basically, hopefully still in the world out there, people can see what is right and what is wrong, and they prefer the right over the wrong. So in this ayat, Allah Ta'ala said that the right and the wrong are never equal. A person who is righteous, virtuous, and a person who is vicious, who is a zalim, a person who makes zulam, can the two ever be equal? They can never be equal. And the person who is righteous, his actions are also righteous. There is honesty, there is truthfulness, kindness, mercy, all that are in his life. And the person who is vicious, he makes all zulam, he wrongs people, he harms people, he robs people, he does wrong to them, all the wrong he does. So that is also, the two cannot be equal. The person who is righteous, his earnings are also righteous, lawful earnings. No haram. He didn't do people wrong. He didn't rob people and earn. He didn't swindle them and took them for a ride, etc. His earnings are also all halal, tayyib. And the other person, his earnings, he robs people. He does people down. He swindles the people. Gambling. All the other wrong things he does. Can the two ever be equal? They cannot be equal. And, for example, now let us see, like that we will all say that we do understand the wrong and the right and wrong are two completely different. The good and the bad are two completely different. But now, for example, for coming for namaz, Jummah, 12 o'clock on a Friday morning, people are in their businesses. Shop, the markets are full, businesses. The shops are full, they are all customers. At such a time, now you ask the people, what is the right and the wrong? Now the answer won't just come spontaneously. Now the customers are standing there, you are seeing your till is going to be ringing, you're going to be putting a lot of money in your till, and the other side you must now close everything and go for namaz. Then you might give the still the right answer, but now you have you think a bit of that. And then, for example, when you are lying in your bed and now to read the du'as for the night, Ayatul Kursi for your protection, so many du'as to be recited, or on the other side to be looking at your phone. Now what is right? Somebody asks you what is the right thing and what is the wrong thing. Then you'll have a lot of buts and ifs. It is right, I have to be reading my Ayatul Kursi. It is right, I must be reading my du'as, etc. But I have to catch up on my messages also. And I have to catch up on this also. Then all the buts and the ifs come. So all that we have to see. After Asr is a time that you can be engaged in the zikr of Allah, which is a special time for the zikr of Allah. You can do a lot of good things, or you can go and play soccer and scream your head off like a hooligan and use all bad language, and your dressing also is against Shariat. And you ask now what is the right and the wrong thing. Now person again falls in a doubt. He says it is right, but we need some free time also. We need to relax also. We need to give our mind a break also. Now all that, all the ifs and the buts come. So we, how many times we fail right at the beginning to identify the right and the wrong. Quran Sharif clearly, categorically says, Qul, O Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, say and tell to the people, La yastawil khabithu wa tayyib. Khabith and tayyib are never equal. Tayyib is there right up high. Khabith is right down tahta thara. And tayyib fawq as-sama, it is right there on top. And we can't see the difference. We can't see the difference. How are the people outside who are going to see the difference? How are the non-Muslims going to see the difference? When we can't see the difference, forget acting on the difference. We don't see the difference in so many things. In dressing, for example. Now we must dress and dress according to the sunnah. In the madrasa, for example, madrasa rule is we must wear the kurta knee length, not till the ankle. Even if it got slit, it must be just knee length. And then it must have the slits also. Just to give you one indication that how correct this kurta is. One good friend of ours, Hafiz Ahmad Saeed, Desai of Peter Maritzburg, but this happened many years ago, he was very passionate about the Palestine issue. And every year Ramzan, he goes for itikaf with a group of people. This one particular year, he came back and he phoned me. He said, I went this year also for itikaf there to Baitul Masjid Al-Aqsa. And we were 28 people, he said. And wherever we were stationed, the hotel, and we should go to the masjid for namaz. He says that first day passed, second day passed, and perhaps it was the second or the third day. And the Israeli police who are there, their army who are guarding all the time, Allah removed them completely and let Masjid Al-Aqsa be completely free for the Muslims. So every day he was interrogating me, every namaz, all questions he was asking me. So I asked him, we are 28 people, you're only interrogating me of all the 28. Why are you only interrogating me? All the other 27 you don't interrogate. So he said clearly, and listen to this carefully, that Israeli police said, he says, look at the kurta you are wearing. That Israeli police said, this is the sunnat kurta. And we got a problem with the people who follow sunnat. And the people who are following fashion And the people who are following their desires, we've got no problem with them. They out of the equation completely from the start. We got a problem with you people who want to follow the Sunnah. So that Israeli police knows about this, but we don't know about it. And they are conscious that these are the targets that we have to try and sort out. And they know the others, we don't even have to worry about them. You don't have to ask them a question also. So Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. So in spite of that, so how many of us here in the madrasa, or especially Friday, Sunday, when this madrasa is over, then we wear the Saudi Yahudi Salafi kurta. We wear that kurta. And that kurta, for your information also, who was the engineer of the Haram Sharif, Bhai Anwarul Haq. He's an engineer. He's a Khalifa of Hazrat Maulana Shah Abrarul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali of Hardoi as well. In the Haram, he told me one day after Asr, he says this person, Lawrence of Arabia, that is his nickname. I'm trying to find his proper name, if anyone can find it and tell me. But anyway, he, Lawrence of Arabia, and he was the worst enemy who ended the Khilafate Usman. He was the main instrumental person. And to establish the Ali Saud regime in Saudi. He brought the Ali Saud and put them in power. And they were the puppets. They were all for the British that time. They were puppets of the British. There was no Islamic rule. And the Khilafate Usmani, that was proper Islamic rule that was there. They finished them up and they brought the Ali Saud there. Then this person, Anwarul Haq, says that Lawrence of Arabia, he brought the kurta of the Pope of Rome and made these people wear it. And that is what they are wearing. And that was supposed to be the exclusive dress of the ruler. But you can't control it. And so the public also started wearing it, albeit after many years they all took on to it, and they also started wearing it. And till today, the Arabs, they are very nationalistic, and they don't like to share their things. When we wear this long Arab kurta, they don't like it. That is a dress for them, exclusive. But they can't do anything about it. Who can stop you? If you want to wear it, you know, wear it. So, but it was meant only, not for the Arabs also, for the rulers of the Arabs. And go and see it for yourself, that kurta, the Arab Saudi kurta, and go and see the Pope's dress, what he wears. And you'll see the complete similarity between the two. So that is what he brought and made them their wear. So anyway, so which do we choose? In this ayat, Allah Ta'ala says further, وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيرِ. Even if, and this address, وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ, is not for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, it is, you say to the people, قُلْ, tell to the people, لَا يَسْتَوِي الْخَبِيثُ وَالطَّيِّبُ. The people, and the people, even if you, the people, you prefer كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيثُ, lot of evil, that is wrong. وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَكَ, even when the, and this is an indication, that when khabith, evil, wrong, becomes, it overflows everywhere, all are doing the wrong thing. Then many people, even good people then, they say, let's go with the flow. Don't let us not oppose the flow. And that is of course completely wrong. A mu'min is never like that. A mu'min, he never goes with the flow, he sees the command of Allah Ta'ala. He sees the sunnah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And he gauges the sunnah from the aslaf and the akabir. How did they dress? How did they live? All that he sees from there. He doesn't see, well, everyone is doing it, let us also do it. A common saying in Urdu, sab bhook hare, to hum bhi bhook hai. All are eating the S word, so we must also eat it. No, you can't do. All are eating junk food, doesn't mean we also must eat junk food. But we can say all of us are eating the junk food. Because everyone is this way now. Everyone is eating it, we must also do it. Everyone, and also in the same thing, for example, we say, now Mufti Saab's wife is driving. So if I drive, what is wrong? A lady says. Maulana's daughter dresses like this. So if I dress like that, what's wrong with it? Allah says, don't look at what the people are doing. Look what Quran has told you to do. See what Hadith has told you to do. Even if you seem to like all the evil, evil has become so rampant, so dominant, and now people start liking the evil. And that is a clear mazmoon of the Hadith Sharif also, when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in detail said, what will be your condition when people will not enjoin the right and not forbid the wrong? Sahaba was surprised. Can there be a time like that? In the time of the Sahaba, it was impossible that a person sees somebody doing wrong and does not stop him. Whether even then, if it's his own family people, and forcefully they would stop that person. They could not understand the time will come when we people will not command the good and not stop the people from the evil. So they asked, will such a time come? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, worse than that time will come. When people will see the good as bad and the bad as good, that was impossible for the Sahaba to comprehend. And then afterwards, even worse, people will command the wrong and they will forbid the right. And that is المنافقون والمنافقات بعضهم من بعض يأمرون بالمنكر وينهون عن المعروف. And that is common today with us. And who does that fit those actions? The munafiqeen. The Quran Sharif says that is the work of the munafiqeen who command the wrong. Today, be hijabi, be pardagi, mixing man and woman freely at all levels, whether it be ulama, whether it be private Muslim schools, whether it be our makatib, whether it be even the many imams of the masajid, they meet the woman freely and talk with them freely, no hijab, nothing. Whether it is in the maktab and the mother comes to the principal and she has to discuss something, and in privacy in his office they will sit. And behind the closed doors they are talking. Where can this ever be permissible? When on the other hand we see the laws of parda are so strong that when Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was sitting with two of his wives, our honorable, great, respectable mothers, who are these? Ummahatul Mu'mineen. And who? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Madina Sharif, the time when Jibreel alayhi salam is coming frequently with wahi. They were sitting and Abdullah ibn Umm Maktum radiyallahu ta'ala anhu came there. Immediately Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam told his two wives, Ihtijiba, make parda. They say, but he's blind. Why do we have to make parda from him? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked, are you too blind? You are going to see him. That is also haram. It's not only haram for man to see woman. It is haram for woman to see man also. Aren't you going to see him? He can't see you, but you can see him. See the level of parda in the Sharia. And today we break that completely. And it has become so common. If we observe parda, people get surprised. Once we were in Indonesia, and they invited us to a girls' madrasa. We went there. When we went, there were two big gates there. And as we came, they opened the gates and all the girl students came to welcome us. So I turned around immediately. I said, this is wrong. They laughed about it. They said, what's wrong with you? You something wrong. There's nothing. The girls are coming. You're supposed to be a sheikh. They respect you. There is no possibility of any haram. But it's against the command of Allah. And they laughed about it. Then Allah gave me tawfiq, put it in my mind. Immediately I said, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ. Alhamdulillah, they were ulama. Immediately they understood. And they actually chased the girls away. And they told them, go away from here immediately. So today, we don't observe the commands of Allah. And it is common. We using woman, we Muslim, I'm not talking of the non-Muslims. We as Muslims, we are using woman to entice people in a business deal. You send a woman, tell her put your right foot forward, and you go and talk sweetly to the person in order to get the deal. And one person explained that in his business, and all women come, and in order to, I want to clinch the deal, they also want, they're going to get their commission. And he says, before you know what, you have booked in a hotel and you are in bed with her already. And so all this, yeah, and we are doing all this. So Allah Ta'ala, so this has become common. So people say, you are abnormal. Today if you want to do the normal thing, you are abnormal. Like for example, it's not a watertight rule, but in South Africa, many countries of the world, on which side of the road must we drive? Yeah? On the left side. And if you drive on the right, left side, you are driving on the right side, where the left is the right. And if you happen to drive on the right side, you are driving on the wrong side, where the right is wrong and the wrong is right, where the left is right and the right is left. If you go to Saudi or other countries, France, many countries, when you're on the right, you're on the right side. When you're on the left, you're on the left side. But here, when we're on the right, we usually say you're on the left or you're on the wrong side. And when you're on the left side, they say you're on the right side. So this has become common in the world today, that all the wrong is right and the right is wrong. And if you stand up against it, you are wrong. And this is the time that has come. So at such a time, Allah says, وَلَوْ عَاجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيرِ. Even if all the evil now, it's not only it's acceptable, but it's likable. The right is not likable. Today, if you're having meals and somebody brought from Kentucky, Machachos, takeaway food, and you don't want to eat, and you bring your, take out your bread and butter sandwiches, they say, something wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Yeah, all that chicken pieces, all the big, big blown up thighs and the big, big breast, and you're not eating this, and you taking out your brown bread and with butter and jam, you want to eat that with your coffee, you want to have that, something is wrong with you. So Allah Ta'ala warns us that this situation will come, but you must follow the right. Fattakullah, fear Allah. See what Allah Ta'ala has got to say. In these matters today, whether it is the Palestine issue, whether it is the people who are controlling the Palestinians, whether it is any part of the world, our big, big Darul Ulooms, Tablighi Jamaat, Khankas, anything happen, then what we say, Akal ki ghore dorate hai. We let the horses of our mind, our brain, we set them free. Go and sort out the problem. It doesn't occur to us, let's see what does Quran Sharif say. What does Hadith Sharif say? All we use our brain. And what are the people saying? That what the people, what will they do? And what are the people saying about it? And what will be the backlash if we do this? And a person of Iman, we have to do what Allah told. And we don't fear any backlash whatsoever. When the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum migrated to Abyssinia, and then afterwards the Quraysh also sent their delegation to bring them back again and to poison the mind of the king. So they went, they poisoned his mind. So he was a fair, just person. He said, I have to hear what they also have got to say. So they summoned them, they were worried, they had opportunity there, though he was a Christian king at that time. But he was a very fair and just, they were making Allah's ibadah freely. Whereas in Makkah Sharif, they were tortured, they were not allowed to take the name of Allah. They were not allowed to make a sajda. And they were suffering, they couldn't practice their deen. Yeah, they had that freedom, but now they got worried. So they went. And the king asked them, and they gave their answers according to deen. King said, no, this is right. This is the same what our Bible teaches us also, that you should worship Allah Ta'ala, etc. And told them, go, you are free, you stay in my country, and you worship Allah freely. Then that Quraysh delegation went back to the king, gave him a lot of presents, etc., and influenced him wrongly again, and then again put other things in his mind. So he summoned them again. Now they got more worried. Now after we have told him the truth, and looks like now these people have told him all the wrong things, and this propaganda carries on in the world all the time. So now what will we do? They thought, and they said, our only salvation is in the truth. We will go and speak the truth. We won't try and cover it up something, camouflage our beliefs or anything. Absolutely what the truth is, we will go and say that. And they went, and Hazrat Ja'far was the spokesman, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he spoke clearly the tawheed of Allah Ta'ala, the oneness of Allah Ta'ala, and the teachings of Isa alayhi salatu, the true teachings of the king was impressed. Tears started flowing from his eyes. So in the truth, but what we will say on such an occasion, that let us put away Quran, Hadith one side. Even our practice, we can even now at such a time, we can speak a lie also. And we can say other things also. But that is not the way of a mu'min. Mu'min, he sticks to the truth in all circumstances. So this is what Allah says, that وَلَوْ عَاجَبَكَ كَثْرَةُ الْخَبِيرِ, this evil which has become rampant, widespread, don't go with the flow. See what Allah and His Rasul says. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, fear Allah. And who must fear Allah? Who will fear Allah? Ya ulil albab, O people of intelligence. And if you don't, it shows clearly you haven't got intelligence in you. A person who is prepared just for the temporary and one whole life of this dunya, average life is about 60, 70 years, compared to the akhirat, it is absolutely nothing. As far as time also is concerned, as time is, as far as quality, severity, etc., the punishment of akhirat compared to dunya, you can't compare dunya for any punishment with akhirat. As far as enjoyment, no matter what enjoyment of dunya, can never compare with the enjoyments of Jannah, which are so great. So if now a person gives preference to this dunya, for a few days we'll stay in peace, but then we'll go into punishment forever and ever in akhirat. So for that you are, can you call that person an intelligent person? Even if he's got his PhD and he decides like that, if he hasn't got permanent head damage, what else has he got? And we regard these people as the very learned people. And you can't see for yourself what your benefit. I'm prepared to save myself from some trouble, very small, very light trouble, for a few days, for a few minutes, and I'm prepared to go into the worst punishment forever and ever. Can that be an intelligent? Ya ulil albab, people of intelligence, see where you are going and where you're going to be permanently. So don't go with the sway, don't go with the public, don't go with the flow, don't just do whatever. See what is Quran and Hadith. Fattakullah, ya ulil albab. And for what? لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ, so that you can become successful. And the successful success, the real success is not in this world, it is akhirat. But Allah in His great mercy and kindness has given us Deenul Islam for success, not only in akhirat, even in dunya. Your 100% success is in deen. When the Sahaba practiced, at the beginning we all know, the persecution of the Quraysh, so much so that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself had to make hijrah and leave Makkah Sharif. But they went through all that when Islam was established in the whole world, in Makkah Sharif, in Medina Sharif, in the whole, what we call today the Arab world. That time it was not the Arab world. Yemen is a place where Islam is very strong, but Yemen was a strong Christian place. The Coptic people of Yemen, they were the ones who came and debate with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam about Christianity. And the Roman Empire, Constantinople, which is modern day Istanbul, this was the head of the seat of the Roman Empire, which today is Turkey. And we say in Turkey, Islam is practiced quite freely. So all this, at that time there was no Arab world as such. There was no Indonesia, a Muslim country. No Malaysia, a Muslim country. All these were all other. But when they endured, they brought Islam in the world. Azans took place everywhere. Today we Jummah Namaz freely. We have got no restriction. But if we will appreciate all this, our azans are given on the mic. Make qadr of it. When we don't appreciate the azan, we don't respect the adhan, we don't reply to the adhan, we don't respond to the adhan, as a punishment, Allah will use a Jew, a Christian, a Hindu, they will go and lay a charge against us. Public disturbance, we are disturbing the public, too much noise is carrying on. It's not them, it's our actions, we didn't appreciate. If we will appreciate, Allah will increase our adhan. There will be more masajid, there will be more. Today is the day of Jumu'ah, here we are. Comfortably we are making Jummah Namaz. What is happening in Palestine? Masjids are all bombed. No masjids are left also. So we must see, we have to come right. So don't go with the flow. Don't go with the public. See what is the command. And then you will get your complete success. May Allah bless us all with the correct understanding of deen and the correct success that we must have. And what is success? Let us go towards that. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah.